Amen. All right, thank you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I want you to just, you have in your bulletin, you should have this little green card in your bulletin. You got to pull it off now. It's a memory verse. And we're in a series on the book of Ephesians, and it's actually the sixth message on Ephesians. And so at different weeks, I've put in the bulletin, this little, if you don't have a bulletin, raise your hands and we'll get you one. But it's a memory verse, and I've asked that you take it and maybe put it on your refrigerator or put it in on your office at work or in your desk at school, and that you'd meditate and ponder it. And so actually, I've been thinking about this message since before I began the series, because this actually is the center verse of the book out of which everything kind of flows, kind of like the hub of a wheel, and all the spokes come out. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, this text is really the controlling text of the whole book. So, and actually the illustration I'm going to use today, which Peter Gloss helped me with, I talked to him with in August about preparing it for me for today. So here's our verse. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right, that's not something you can just read quickly or just memorize in your head. There's so much in here. And so we're actually doing the whole text from 14 to 21 and about the love of Christ. So I finally got the title like 2 days ago. Today's about your place in a universe of the love of God. And we've been in a series here in Ephesians, and we've got to get a flow here, and I want to encourage you again to be reading Ephesians and meditating on it, because it's just wonderful to read a book and just get its flow and how it all fits together. And so we began with talking about your new identity in Ephesians 1, that when you come to Christ, he speaks about the fact that you've been chosen from the foundations of the world before you were ever born, and God's adopted you then as a son or a daughter into his family. You now have a new name and a new family, a new inheritance. And you've been forgiven. Your slate's been washed clean through the blood of Jesus. And he gives the image of you've been redeemed. You've been brought out of slavery into a promised land to become your true self in Christ. And he's placed the Holy Spirit in you, and you've been marked forever. You've been sealed with the Spirit of God. And you are beloved. You are the riches of his glorious inheritance. You are deeply loved by God. And then a second message, we talked about your new power. And this super-duper mega power in verses chapter 1, 18 to 23 and 24. And this mega power is for us who believe. And actually, this word power, you'll see it's three times in our text. It's actually, the word power is used in this letter more than any other New Testament letter. And it's power from God that's available for us in the church to transform us, because we can't change ourselves. And we're to embrace this identity and this role in the world with God's power. And then we talked about how you're a masterpiece, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10, that you're a work of art, and God, out of his great love, he's poured out on you. He rescued you from death. He made you alive. He seated you in the heavenly realms, and that in all eternity, the angels of heaven will glory in that you're a miracle, the fact that you've become a Christian, the incomparable riches of his grace to have brought you and made you a work of art and a masterpiece. And his point is it's a miracle. And that he's prepared some things for you to do on earth in your short earthly life. He has prepared something for you to do. He's given you something to become and something for you to do. And you are a masterpiece. And Paul's got a great view of the church and who we are. Not just you as an individual, but now you've been brought in to be part of a church of God's people. We spent 2 weeks on your new international family. And it's not just God and you. And that the history of the world is filled with racism and prejudice and suspicions and hatreds and divisions. We're divided by class barriers of wealth and education, by gender, by race, by culture. Nations are divided. And that Jesus has come and he's destroyed the dividing wall of hostility, all these walls, and he's created a new international family. And when you come to Christ, you're part of that new international family with a whole new identity. And this worldwide family is more splendid than any nation or culture individually. And so as Paul says, here I am, I'm talking and preaching about things. I'm preaching to you about things that are way over my head about Christ. Because Paul's so overwhelmed in chapter 3 as he's expounding on this, on who you are, your new international family in Christ. And we spent actually 2 weeks on that. And he goes, this is just way over my head. And so now this text this morning of 3, 14 to 21, it's like a transition. He's transitioning now the book. Because he says, if you're going to become all that God's called you to become, you've got to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You've got to get this, or else you'll never bridge these barriers. In fact, it's interesting because his whole love of Christ is to become all that God intends so that we can cross these deep divides between people, racially and culturally. It's just very fascinating that it follows that text. And so in verse 16, just to kind of, you know, begin it, he says in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And so he's saying, out of God's got this glorious, inexhaustible wealth. And he goes, now I'm going to pray. Now Paul, he's praying for us. He's praying all through history. He's praying for these church in Ephesians. He's praying out of God's inexhaustible resources that he's going to strengthen you with power, this dynamite power. And he's going to say it three times in this text. You need power, power to grasp this love of Christ. And he goes, verse 18, I pray that you might have power together with all the saints. And then he says, God's power in verse 21 is at work within you. And so you get these themes of that you might know the love of Christ, you need incredible power because you can't know it naturally. It's far beyond you. It's something supernatural to get what we're talking about today. And so just a simple exercise as we begin, because here's his prayer. He goes, I pray in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then he gives this great prayer that I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp, together with all the saints, and to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So let me ask you as we begin this. Imagine God thinking about you. What do you think is going through God's mind as he thinks about you right now? Or, now God feels, the Bible reveals God's a God who feels as well. How do you think God feels about you now as he considers you? By name, Enrique. Just pause for a moment. It reveals a lot about your theology, actually, your answer to that question. You know, some of you may be saying, well, I think he's disappointed. You know, I haven't become all I was cracked up to be, you know, or maybe he's disappointed, or he's angry, or he's disgusted, or he's sad, or he's frustrated, or he's saying, boy, what a mistake to have chosen me. I should have picked somebody else. Or I think I might just wipe Pete out and save somebody else to do what I really want them to do because he's not measuring up. But most of us want to get our house in order. Then we'll let God accept us. Because we don't like charity. We don't like handouts. We don't like freebies. So we want to earn the love that we get. And God and Paul knows here that our deepest need, the deepest need in your person is to surrender to this perfect love of God. You may think you need a lot of things today in your life, but what Paul's saying in this text is the deepest need for you is to surrender to this perfect love of God. It's when we surrender to this love of God that our self-will is broken. And our stubbornness and our arrogance and we're able to just let go. You see, Christianity is not about a bunch of obligations that we have to do. It's about a surrendering to the love of God for us. And so if you picture yourself soaking in a universe of the love of God, which is our theme today, if you can get this, it will transform you. It will change your life, slowly but deeply. You see, the distinctiveness of the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture, is that there are no strings attached to his love for you. That's the amazing thing about Christianity, that God simply loves human beings that he has created. And he has created you, and he's created me for this love relationship with himself. And there's nothing you can do or not do that's going to change that. He simply loves you and wants a love relationship with you, period. You know, Philip Yancey, you're familiar with his books. You know, he's written, the Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu Doctrine of Karma, the Jewish Covenant, the Muslim Code of Law, the Five Pillars, each of these offers a way to earn approval. Only Christianity dares to make God's love unconditional. And Jesus comes and he shows us the character of God, that God's not your projections of who you think he is. He is so different than we ever could have imagined. And he offers us something that we could never have deserved. He offers us forgiveness of sins. And he offers us an embrace in his love. We could never have imagined God doing that. And so Paul knows that an experience of this love is what's going to transform us. Not just the head knowledge, an experience. This prayer, he's actually very emotional. One scholar wrote, this is the most emotional passage in all of Paul's writings, except for maybe the end of Romans 8. His emotions, he just loses it as he kind of goes into the ozone of an experience of the love of God. And he prays it into these people. And so that is my prayer this morning, that you'll have an experience of this truth and this text. And so I want you to know, and if you've been memorizing this text, he says in verse 17, he says, I pray that you might be, in verse 17, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. And he gives an image of you like a big tree. You'll be rooted in this love. That nothing, a hurricane might come, but you're so rooted like an oak tree, nothing will knock you over. And you'll be established in love. And that's the image of a foundation, of a powerful building. That, again, a hurricane won't knock that building down. You'll be so established in the love of God. Together with all the saints. Not just you, but all the saints. We all would get it. All the saints worldwide. You know, rich, poor, black, white, Arab, African, Latino, Asian, you name it. We all believers would get it. And we might comprehend, he says, the dimensions of the love of Christ. And he says, you might grasp it. Which is, kind of seize it. You get it, because this love surpasses knowledge. He's saying, I want you to know something that's unknowable. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? This love that you can't know by intellect, I pray you know it in your experience. You taste it, and it changes you. And so this is meant to, you're in awe. You're in wonder. It's like, whoa. And we will actually spend eternity comprehending this text. Truly, 100 billion years from now, you'll be thinking of this text and trying to grasp it all because it's so deep and profound. And so I love this prayer. Look at verse 19. It goes, and I pray that you might know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I mean, maybe just be filled with God, all the measure of the fullness of God. All right, so I got to get you a picture of this. Verse 18, how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ? So we're going to have an illustration. Let's go to this Bayor. And thanks to Peter Gluss, we've been working on this actually for a couple of months. All right. When you think of, I pray that you might know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, you've got to get a grasp of how big is the universe to really get it. So think with me for a moment that of, I'm not able to control this? Apparently not. So you're going to have to control it for me, Bayork. Okay, here is the Earth. That's us, where we live. And so hang in with me during this illustration. I may lose you a little bit, but it will climax at the end, I promise. So we live on the Earth, 6.5 billion people. Continents, it's a pretty massive place. But we are part of a solar system that revolves around the sun. Now, there are 9 planets, but now I'm told that Pluto has been knocked off as a planet. But for our purposes here, we're taking Pluto back. That's what I was taught in 4th grade. So I don't know what's happened, but I'm comfortable with Pluto as a planet. So to get a sense of the distance of us to the sun, I want you to notice our sun, which is up there. In the back, above in the sanctuary, you will see a balloon. That is the sun. Okay? And that beach ball in the back. And this little grain of rice, there's a grain of rice in my hand, which you cannot see. That is the Earth. That's our size next to the sun. And just look for a moment of the distance from where I'm standing to the sun up there to give you a sense of proportion. And move your eyes back and forth so you get a sense of the distance. And now, understand, we orbit around the sun, right? So you know, we orbit around once a year. That's where we get our seasons from, okay? And to get that orbit in mind, but you'll notice that Pluto is the furthest planet. Where are we, Pluto? Here we are, over here. Pluto also orbits around the sun. And that gives you a sense of the spectrum or breadth of our solar system. And just so you know, even the sun, just distance between us and the sun, when we see the light of the sun, that left 4 minutes ago. From the sun, that's how far the sun is from us. I mean, if the sun exploded, we wouldn't see it for 4 minutes because of how long it would take for us to see it. That's how far the sun is from us. And so to give you a sense of the distance, we launched from the Earth a spacecraft in 1977 called the Voyager. And here's the Voyager. And it traveled at the speed of 40,000 miles per hour, which is 10 miles a second, which means like it got to the Empire State Building about 10 miles from here in a second. Okay, so traveling at 40,000 miles per hour, it took 30 years to get to Pluto at 40,000 miles an hour. To give you a sense of the distance from Earth to Pluto, it left in 1977, it just got there in 2007. At 40,000 miles an hour. Okay? You follow me, everybody? Good. We're doing good so far. Jerry, how am I doing? Thank you. I failed miserably with her last night, so it gives you a sense of how big our solar system is and that God made our solar system enormous. And we think about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Okay, you get the solar system here. Now, but we are part of a solar system. We're part of a galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. Very good. Now, so here's a Voyager it left. Okay, so if you picture this, our solar system, let me get my dime here. Okay, shrink our solar system down to a dime. All right? Imagine that. With the sun in the middle of the dime. See that? There's the sun, and here's the Earth. And so from the Earth to Pluto, which started here, that took 30 years going at 40,000 miles an hour, all right? Okay, if this is our dime, after our solar system is the nearest star, which would be, in the analogy of this is the distance of a dime, that's 2 football fields away, is the first star, which is, here we go, the nearest star. It's about 200 yards or 2 football fields away, the number one star you see in the sky. And that's just our galaxy. And the next star is another 2 football fields away from our dime. Our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, has billions and billions of stars. Just our Milky Way galaxy. So to know the size of our galaxy, a way to picture it is this. This is the Milky Way galaxy. That's us, a little dime over here, okay? A little speck on the billions and billions of stars. So picture North America, the continent, Canada, United States, Mexico. Let me say this right. Our galaxy is the size of North America, and we are the solar system, the size of a dime. There are tens of billions of solar systems in our galaxy. We are just one. We are the size of a dime when you think of the geography of all of North America. That's how big the Milky Way galaxy is. And how this is the size of our whole solar system, let alone the speck of Earth in that dime. Everybody with me so far? Okay. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Now, think of billions of dimes separated by football fields. There's billions of solar systems in that North American, the Milky Way galaxy. That's how big this thing is. Now, scientists tried to figure out how big is the universe. And because this is just one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, there are billions of galaxies. So what they did was they took a picture. And it's a very famous picture. I'm sure some of you are familiar with it. It's called the Hubble Deep Field. And so what they did was astronomers picked a spot in the sky that was completely dark, a spot where they could not see any stars, no light. And the size of the spot they took was about as big as a half a grain of rice. Okay, in other words, they got the most powerful Hubble telescope, and they focused it on one point. Think of the sky, because I looked at the sky this morning, how massive the sky is. They just took the size of a half or a quarter grain of rice, and they in this very small spot, they pointed the Hubble Space Telescope right at it. And they took a very long, deep photograph, and this is what they found. Now understand, you'll never find a deeper, clearer picture of the far reaches of the universe than this one. It's not even a full picture. We couldn't get it on the slide, or Peter couldn't get it on the slide. But what they found is this. These points of light that you see behind me are not stars. They are galaxies. Thousands, tens of thousands upon thousands of galaxies, the size of our Milky Way, that was just in a quarter grain of rice. Do you understand how many billions upon billions and billions of galaxies there are if you put that in the entire sky? And they said, and some of these are really far. And some of the scientists are saying that all we're seeing is the very edge or beginning of the universe with that deep, deep picture. So our one galaxy is the size of North America. Our solar system is a dime. Do you understand how big this universe is? Now, when Paul prays, now we're back to our text. But this is not astronomy, which I flunked in high school. I didn't flunk, but I didn't do very well. But when Paul says, I pray that you might have power, verse 18, together with all the saints, because you need power to get this, to grasp how wide the universe is. Think how long the universe is. Think how high the universe is and how deep the universe is, that you may know this love of Christ, this love that surpasses knowledge. It's like when he says anything, I pray that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God as you contemplate this, that in a sense, this is so staggering. This is meant to stagger us. And that if you think of all this love or the fullness of God in himself, Paul says, I pray it might get into you and it might fill you to capacity. Verse 19, you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, like almost like you might get so filled up as a human being, it almost like you would burst because you couldn't take it anymore, of being so filled with the love of God and still be human. That's his prayer in verse 19. They don't even know what to do with the prayer, verse 19, commentators. It's so to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God and this love of Christ. What is he talking about? I'll explode into pieces. But Paul says, I pray you might get it, and thus your whole life will be transformed. It's quite a text there. And I love Psalm 33:5. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Psalm 33:5 really could read, the universe is filled with his unfailing love. What a text, huh? The earth is full of his unfailing love. Or you could say the universe is full of his unfailing love. So, wow. Now, gee, let's go to my notes. Let me throw out some applications for you. Because here's the great question. Is we think about your place in the universe of God's love. And I want to make really two simple applications. I'm going to spend most of my time on the first one. And because this is really an invitation from God to us. And it's an invitation to contemplate the love of Jesus, which fills the universe for you. So the first I want to talk about, it really has to do with your relationship with God. And the second has to do with your relationship with yourself. All right, so in particular, I want to just zoom in on the issue of trials and difficulties, and anxieties, and fears, which is what Veronica's song was about. You know, most of us, we see, and I can feel God's love when things are going well. I don't know about you, but when I'm experiencing miracles, I know God loves me. I'm very aware that he is good, his love endures forever. But I'm not so good about when things are going badly. It's very hard to know his love. You know, I think about Hebrews 11 when it talks about Isaiah being sawed in two. It's hard to feel the love of God when you're being sawed in two. Or when you're being stoned. Or in the New Testament when James, the brother of Jesus, is beheaded. Or when you're imprisoned. Or Stephen is stoned to death. Or Jerusalem Christians have to leave their homes and flee for their lives and leave all their property and jobs behind. Or when you're in churches with real problems like in the New Testament. Or when Paul writes about being exposed to death over and over again and being, you know, 39 times lashed, five different times, you know, with a whip and in danger and from hunger and cold and thirst and false brothers, false Christians and trying to kill them. And it can feel like God is absentee. Have you ever felt like that? Fill the universe with his power. I feel like God's an absentee landlord. He set me up and left. And because I, like many of us, I often believe this myth, and that is, if I'm in pain, or if I'm uncomfortable, this can't be God. This just can't be God. And you see, God does love you and me, and he does screen every trial. He screens every setback and disappointment that comes your way. And he's ordained it, in fact, from all eternity out of his love for you. And God Almighty really is on the throne in full control of the universe. And he really has the power to keep the galaxies and the stars and that little speck on a dime called Earth moving just the way he wants it to. And we are a dime in just our Milky Way galaxy the size of North America. And there are billions upon billions of galaxies. And that universe is filled with a God of love for the human beings that he's made. In fact, do you realize this God who created all this universe loved? See, the galaxies are not made in God's image. They display his glory and power, Romans 1. But only human beings are made in God's image of such value and worth. And so out of a desire for a love relationship with you, as we ran away from God, God came to this planet called Earth. This God of this universe came as a baby to this planet to communicate to us, to live among us, just like us in flesh, to reveal his glory, this glory of the universe, that we might grasp the love of Christ. And then he dies on a cross. I mean, come on, staggering, isn't it? Dies on a cross, crucified for people who could care less. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, that John 3:16 verse is not just a little kid's verse. And he comes and he dies for us. He's God of the universe. That's how valuable you are. That's how much he loves you and me, that he would bear the judgment that we deserve for our sins as our substitute so that we can be the miracle, forgiven of our sins, have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ, and we can rest in the embrace of his love. Friends, it's a miracle. It's staggering. Without power, without the Holy Spirit, I can't even imagine such a thing. See, so God hasn't, and you know what's interesting? God has created so much of the universe, we'll never see all this universe. I mean, we see so little of the universe, don't we? Just like we see so little of what's going on in our lives. Again, your relationship with God, the trials, the difficulties, the setbacks, the disappointments, God has not taken his hand off the wheel in your life for 10 seconds. And he is driving this universe with his love. He is driving it. And one day, every sorrow that we taste, one day, every sorrow we taste will prove to have been the best possible thing that could ever have happened to us. Johnny Erickson Tada, you know the name, the woman who was paralyzed from the neck down from a diving accident at 17, who's written quite a bit over the years about suffering. She says this, and she's been paralyzed now, 50 years from the neck down, or 40 years? She says, we will thank God endlessly in heaven for the trials that he sent us here, because we'll see his love. You see, we think when something bad happens in our life, what's wrong with me? Versus, I am uniquely crafted as a masterpiece from God and loved by him deeply. You see, the ordinary way that we grow in Christ is through fire. The ordinary way to grow in Christ, friends, is through God putting us in a furnace of things not going our way. You know, the fires we had in California this week, always remember, we need natural forest fires so the seeds of an oak tree and a pine tree, for example, can be broken open and go into the ground. It takes those fires to crack open those seeds for those trees to come forth. In the same way, your true self of who you really are, who God made you to be, can only get cracked open through fire because he loves you. If he didn't love you, he'd just let you go. You know, I know. I mean, I'm in my own season, again, of God dismantling me and pulling me apart out of love for me versus he ain't mad at me. He's taken off layers of a false self that just aren't me. And there's no other way to get at this stuff but fire. You know, I love the work of John of the Cross, what's called The Dark Night of the Soul. And he writes in this great work in the 1500s. It's the greatest work on the dark night. And he says, we cannot purify ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. That is the work of God. And if for the goal of God is to strip you of your imperfections and prepare you for a higher degree of love with him so you can commune with him. And so he shuts the door of heaven sometimes on us. Our feelings for God are gone. We end up feeling barren, dry, empty. We say, we don't know where God is and what he's doing or why. And we feel helpless, and we get defeated, and we feel depressed. And he writes in John of the Cross, and I went and reviewed this for today. He says he's not simply restraining your sin. He is pulling it out of you. He is purging you. He is cleaning out your soul through the fire. And he writes, God is purging and emptying the soul of all your affections that you've contracted your whole life for other things outside of him. He is purifying you of that. And because these are so deeply rooted in the substance of your soul. And it takes a fire to get at it. And so he writes about things like pride. You see, when we're impatient, when we condemn people, when we're looking for the praise of other people, he goes, God's got to pull that out of you. And things like greed, when you just want things and lusting for stuff, or you want God's blessings more than God himself, or you're easily irritated, or you're gluttonous. You want the pleasures of God, but you don't want the crucifixion. You're unhappy with what other people do spiritually. You envy, and he says you're a slavey, and we run from what's hard. He goes through all these sins, and he says, for God to get at these deep things in our life, friends, it takes the dark night of fire. But I want you to catch this. The universe is filled with the love of God for you. The love of Christ is so wide and long and high and deep for you and for me. And he is purging us and your palate and mine. And he's stripping you of your false self and me so our taste buds might be tasting him. We might say, taste and see the Lord is good. Or actually, our taste buds want him. And we don't just run after feelings. And he uses one phrase, God attacks the soul. It's a great phrase. God sometimes attacks us out of love for us to set you free and me too. But I hate it when it happens, don't you? And I've got to remember and step back and think of that Hubble, that picture of the billions of galaxies and stars. Oh, and the universe is filled with the love of Christ for me and for this world we live in. That's who God is. And say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in me. Help me really to be broken of my self-will, my stubbornness, my desire for things apart from you that are unhealthy. And I just think of James 1. Consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing or the fire of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work. So you must be mature and complete. You see, when you think you may think you're going backwards. You're going forward. You may think you're in defeat. You're actually in the best place you've been in years. You see, and to keep still and be still and persevere and listen for his voice before his love and his goodness. You know, God's invading you. You know, I love William Blake's great poem. Some of you know the poem. He says, we were put on earth in a little space so we can bear the beams of his love. You were put on earth to bear a little space here in Queens or the Bronx or Brooklyn so you could bear beams of his love coming at you. And he loves you so much, he's trying to get all the barriers out of the way so you can bear and receive these beams like a laser coming at you out of love for you. Whew. Listen, Jesus on the cross was not very pretty, was it? It wasn't very attractive. But you know what? It had a purpose. It had something larger it was doing. And what God wants you to know and me to know is, you know what? God wants you to get a fuller picture here. Every day you live on earth is significant. Your life is incredibly significant. And only heaven will give you a fuller picture. You can't see it. But God wants you to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you can rest in your relationship with God and let him do his work in you and make you the person he really has destined you to be. But there is no other path but through this fire. But it's a good path. It's sadly, because our culture, I'm surrounded by messages that are about comfort, comfort, comfort. And so everyone's discouraged, barely surviving, complaining, feeling beat up, defeated by life. And we have to step back and see the galaxies and ponder the love of Christ. And we can say, okay, I don't know, but you do. And I'm going to stop here. Because surrendering to you and relaxing is the greatest need in my life and yours. And I'll just close with this last one because our time is up. And so just don't think about your relationship with God. Just think about your relationship with yourself. And I just say that because I fight voices, and I believe most of us do. It's those critical voices that come all the time. You're no good. You're a bum. You'll mess up. You're getting what you deserved. You're nothing. And those negative voices just come. But there's another voice coming from God to you. And that is that you're infinitely loved and valued. And it's a love that rings through the whole universe. And that God came to earth in Jesus for you. And that you're made in God's image. And we say no to those voices, the negative critical voices from our family or culture, wherever they might come from for you. And we embrace the voice of God for us. And we allow him to change us again. Remember I put up about a month ago this little chart of, remember Bernardo Clairvaux talked about the degrees of love? First, we're growing in Christ. First, we love ourselves for our own sake. And then he says, then we begin to love God for his gifts and blessings. Then we begin to love God for himself alone as we're growing. But then Bernard, he wrote this in 1100s. He says, but the height is when we love ourselves for the sake of God. I just love it. Now it makes sense. It really makes sense. In other words, that when you see the big vastness of the universe and you think of yourself and to think that when you love yourself for the sake of God, because that's how much he loves you, and that you're made in God's image and likeness, which has been damaged by sin. But you see, if I can see this is how much God loves me, and I actually love myself for the sake of God, I can surrender my will to God and trust him. Then I can say, okay, God, your will be done in my life, not mine. But unless you see the love of God, you'll keep doing your will your whole life because you don't trust him. In fear, you'll just make your own calls, just like I do. But it's this love Paul knows. If you get this, the rest of the book of Ephesians is going to happen. But without this, chapters 4, 5, and 6, which we'll get to beginning next week, very tough to live out without the love of Christ. And so he ends in verse 20. We'll end here as well in chapter 3. Now to him who's able, he ends with a prayer, a final prayer, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work in us. And he ends with a prayer. He says, listen, guys, I want you to know something. God, you may be praying something. God answers prayer beyond what your dreams are, your expectations are, and your prayers are. Because God's got a whole nother agenda. And he's already at work in you, he says. You say, I can never get here. He says, I want you to know something. God's at work in you already, and he's going to do this in you. And I want to invite you today, because God has, you may be asking for something, but God's got something bigger for you. He's got something better for you. It may include a fire or two, but he's got something great for you. So I'd like us to close by putting that Hubble picture up and worship him. You can come forward. And, here it is. Here, oh, thank you. Fantastic. This is that picture of that Hubble deep field, it's called. The earth is full of his unfailing love. So I want to take 2 minutes, and I want us to contemplate the universe. Now, Peter Gluss, in the back there, could give a testimony. I thank you, Peter, for what you've done. This is part of his devotional life. God bless him. But as you have this verse in front of you in your green sheet, you know, and I actually put this verse, the earth is full of his unfailing love. To think of the universe is full of his unfailing love. And I want you to, in silence, for like 2 minutes or so, the question is, how might God be coming to you in this understanding of the galaxies? Why is God hand-delivering this message of his love for you today? That's the question. Why is God bringing this message to you? October 28th, 2007. Why is he hand-delivering it to you? What's he saying to you? What's he trying to say to you? All right, so we're going to be still before the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 7. And we're going to wait patiently for him, and I invite you to ponder. Those are galaxies, tens of billions of galaxies in that little grain of rice out there. That's how big the universe is, and it's full of his unfailing love for us. It surrounds us. Wow. Okay, let's begin. All right, we're going to be dismissed. If you think for a minute, I pray as he dismisses you, say, may God's face shine upon you. What that is like, may his beams of love, like, may it shine on you, and may you feel it, you know, and hit you as you go out of this place. And so we're going to close, and the communion table's over here as we close, and always welcome to come to the communion table and take the bread and dip it in the cup. And again, it's receiving his love, isn't it? The love of Christ together with all the saints, communion all worldwide. And we have some prayer teams over here to your left. And I want to invite you forward who you know who you are. You say, you know what, my relationship with God is disturbed. It's got a lot of clouds in it, a lot of craziness in it. And that's not living in this love of God. You just want to come for prayer. Maybe you're approaching your trials and difficulties all wrong. And you need kind of just straightened out by the power of God. And just come for prayer. Or maybe your relationship with yourself is all distorted. And God wants to sort that out as well. And set you free and let his love come into you. And so whatever you're going through right now, you may just want to come for prayer as we close here. And you're coming humbly and saying, oh God, power, power in me that your love might flow through me. All right, so let's bow, and I'm going to invite you to receive a blessing as we go. Open up your hands and heart toward heaven, your palms uplifted, and just an expression of openness to God. And so I pray with Paul here, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know experientially this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to exploding to the measure of all the fullness of God as you go forth from here and his face shines upon you and grants you peace. Not anxiety, but peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to everybody. Have a wonderful day as you go.